This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, buddy. Good to see you.
Well, it's nice to be in this cool room instead of that smoky, hot place outside.
Yeah, you said it was getting to be smoky again.
Oh, yeah, it's smoking it up good. This morning was relatively good.
Good, yeah.
And then as I traveled around and did this and did that, and we had lunch with some friends and came out, and I thought, oh, no, where did this come from? I thought it was going away. It's not going away. It's getting thicker by the minute, it seems.
So. Maybe that 80% chance of showers will help tomorrow.
Well, I hope it's more than showers. I hope it's a remnant of the Florida hurricane.
Hurricane. What is her name? Idiota or something?
I don't know.
I don't think it was Idiota, but...
that's a weird name, Dale. Probably Norma or something like that. Hurricane Norma. Well, I hope everybody's had their sufficient smoke already, and you don't want any more. And I know the trees and the shrubs don't respond well to the smoke. So, and from all the forest fires that are burning day after day after day after day, boy. And that Umpqua fire is just, it seems like it's just going to town. I mean, I don't know how many, they seem like they have a lot of folks on it. And I don't know if they got airplanes dropping water or what. I assume that they would.
I've seen choppers. Pictures, but I'm not sure where they were dropping it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. But this is a,
it's a mess.
I know. And there's, after the fires are out, there's a bit of a fallout from all the fires with this fine ash that settles on plants, on the leaves and stuff all over. You know, it's non-discriminatory. It just falls out of the air. It's just fine. It's just almost dusty-like.
Yeah, kind of like Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, and then it just coats the leaves and kind of takes the green away, if you will. It doesn't kill the vegetation, but it's not really healthy for the ash to settle and stay on the leaves. Oh. So my suggestion, if you have that occurring or is going to occur and you notice it on your shrubs and the leaves, and it just discolors it. I mean, it's not going to kill the plant outright. But you might take a hose out and rinse your plants off just to clean the foliage.
Do a little dusting.
Yeah, just give them a rinse and clean them up, and 5 minute rinse will do the job. Not even 5 minutes, 30 seconds per plant or 20 seconds per plant. And just remember that good health equals good growth, and that's how it is. And you might have to do it, once a week until all this crummy fires are under control or out or squashed or it rains. And I've been hoping for about 20% of the rain from Florida to head our way. And they had, I can't remember all the statistics, but it's just continually raining. It's just
beating. Didn't you say 12 feet?
And there's flood surges in as deep as 12 feet in some areas in there. And,
wow.
12 feet. I mean, that's higher than some houses for crying out loud.
Poor animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the gators don't mind it, I guess.
I guess not.
Yeah. Oh, geez. But, it's been a tough few years with fires, and but a little more attention to your landscape by, proper fertilizing and a little extra water and we'll keep your plants growing healthy.
Speaking of a gator, I got a joke for you.
You got a joke? This is a joke show? Okay.
What did the crocodile say when he ate the clown?
Boy, I don't know.
That tastes funny.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. That tastes funny. Crocodile. Well, okay, so much for humor today on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Yeah, and I know you're rolling on your living room floor in laughter, clutching your sides because you're and you can't breathe because of that joke. But I'll try to maintain some decorum here. But in addition, About the dust on your leaves and things. You keep your lawns healthy by, you know, rinsing them off. I mean, you give them good water, of course, but give them a little bit more fertilizer for a couple more months and water them pretty good. So it's been so stinking dry. You know, three times a week is not going to hurt them because it's not going to amount to a whole bunch. And when you do water, it's not 5 minutes of watering. It's like 25 minutes of watering, you know, per zone or per area or however you've got your area set up. And when you're mowing, of course, especially this with the smoke and the heat and all that, raise the blades so as not to cut the lawn too short. And because grass that is longer stays greener, it's healthier, it grows thicker, and it keeps the weeds to a minimum because the grass is the more aggressive grower, and the weeds only pop in where there's a weak spot in the lawn or a bare spot, a little tiny bare spot, and next thing you know, there's a stinking weed popping up.
Oh, yeah.
Waving at you, you know. So get rid of them puppies, and you can do that, like I say, by fertilizing your existing lawn and not mowing it short. And I've only said that 358 times. I hope somebody got it somewhere and it's working for them. So, but, and also a nice green lawn lowers your ground temperature by a few degrees. It lowers the whole temperature of your yard because it's green. It's lush. It's growing. It's putting out more oxygen. And so consequently, you might only, you know, it might only be 2 or 3 degrees, or in some cases it might be 5 or 6 degrees, but it does cool the atmosphere of your overall yard. So this is how it is. You can measure the temperature if you like, but it works. And like I say, this is not my favorite time of the year. In fact, it's my least favorite time of the year, with the heat and the fires and no rain and all that, and just goes on and on and on. So that's why we have to be more diligent in our landscape maintenance. And as soon as we get a good rainy week, there are going to be a revival of life for our yards, our rivers, and our forests, especially those that are smoldering and on fire right now. You know, we don't want a deluge of rain like there really is in Florida on those fires, because it'll cause landslides and earth to move, and it's just not stable. The soil is not stable, and it's mostly ash, so consequently, if a heavy rain hits it, it just goes downhill.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really penetrate the ground until the ash is removed. And you know, if it's a light rain, it's better. You know, 3-4 days of real light rain, kind of just, you know, half an inch every 24 hours, maybe, it would be, you know, settled more than washing away. So that would be a good one.
Yeah.
And if September gets its average rainfall precipitation, 2 inches or whatever the heck it is, you're safe to begin planting with success, because the rain will bring the cooler weather, and it's also, you know, it's just less traumatic for the plants to be planted than like on a 105 degree day. And of course, you, the planter, are not going to be as hot and sweaty and worn out because it is cooler, and you don't feel the exertion that you're putting forth on doing a correct planting job. But on the other hand, you know, a few weeks ago, I think I spoke about planting a fall vegetable garden. Well, this is still a doable project, and you can eat fresh tomatoes until November, yummy, possibly, if this weather continues in its pattern, if you plant now. And like I say, keep it simple. And plant in pots if that's easier for you, because it's less work, less water. But if you've got a garden spot in your backyard or even your front yard, your flower beds, whatever, you put some tomatoes in there, put some peppers, whatever. And broccoli. Oh, yeah, broccoli will grow anywhere. Put it in the concrete.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, gosh. I have broccoli every stinking night. I'll tell you, my wife, she does it on purpose. She says, oh, I said, oh, I got broccoli again tonight. Yep, got lots of it.
Where's the vinegar?
Well, I coat it with mayonnaise. It's easy. It slides down better that way.
There you go.
Well, okay. And, of course, like I said, with all the leaves falling right now, and there are a lot of them because, as I explained last week, the drought the drought that we've had has forced a premature fall pattern, so consequently the leaves on maples, and especially maples, and some of the other trees have turned them brown, and they're, you know, they've got some fallout. That's all there is to it. So you can just start doing your compost thing and get it off your lawn and stick it in a corner of your yard, and or even in a couple of plastic garbage cans or something like that, and you'll have some good natural fertilizer and good planting soil for next year. Or the year after, you know, it depends on how how quickly they'll break down and be usable. So, like I say, a back corner in a yard, you can also put your grass clippings there, your leaves, and even small twigs in that pile. And it's all great organic material, and it has a feeding and a fertilizer value. You know it's good. You know that there's no weird chemicals or something like that added to it. And so you can add that to your spring garden, next spring's garden area, and get it all tilled in over the fall. And
get it ready.
Get it ready. Retill it again in the spring as soon as you can. And but once you get the pile started, and then let's say it's sitting there a month or so, and take a pitchfork or a shovel or something and turn it over. Get the stuff on the bottom, throw that up on the top and on top of the fresh leaves that you just put on there, and it'll just hasten that decomposing process. And continue to add the leaves and the grass clippings every year as they come down. And it's, like I say, it's like super vitamins to your garden. It's a natural fertilizer. And so much nowadays that folks want more natural type of...
The organic, organic stuff.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do it. And I still fertilize with commercial fertilizer, but not as much as I once did. It's very lightly, and it's not as often. But it's because I've got this compost, and I just throw in fresh compost each year, till it in, and there's enough organic food in there that will feed the plants really well.
Wow.
And besides that, when you water, the water actually penetrates quickly down into the root system.
Because there's something there for it to...
Exactly, to percolate downwards, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that clay.
Yeah, that clay just sits there and goes, yeah, you can't get through me, man.
Try it.
Yeah. But if you do this, your garden productivity is going to increase greatly. And you can, like I said, you can add some store-bought plant food to mix the soil. But it's not, you're not going to be using as much. And for an added bonus, I read this the other day, and I don't know why. I've seen it before, but there was a deal on eggshells.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Eggshells.
Yes.
They're full of calcium, for crying out loud.
Ah.
So what the article said was to put the eggshells out in the sun, let them dry and get crispy. Then you can crunch them up and you know, take a piece of wood or a hammer or your fist or whatever, and just, you know, crunch them to where they're almost dusty, and just add them to your compost. You know, add them to the plant mix, and... You can add, you know, I don't know how many eggs the average person eats a week, but, you know, my wife, well, we go through at least a dozen a week, so that's how many eggshells we got left over. But she hasn't caught on yet. I've told her about it, but she has ignored me. I don't know why. That kind of hurts my feelings.
Speaking of that, should we do a break?
Oh, let's do a break.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back with more alligator jokes.
Well, hope not, but you never know when he's going to slip one in.
I do have one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, at the appropriate time, you may tell it at 5:05.
What's our phone number again?
673-4464. If you have a question, a comment, or whatever, please call, and we can have a discussion. And if you have a problem, I think I can solve it, but... if you make it up and it's just make-believe, I don't know.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you get a make-believe answer.
I know. I can do that. Most of what I say is just something I just popped out of my brain. I don't know.
Oh, we do have a phone call.
Look at that. See, all it took was a little bit of urging.
Let's do that. Do this. And good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Good afternoon, Mike. This is Liz Aiken. I'm talking to you about eggshells. I use eggshells in my garden all the time. I crush them, but not so fine, and it helps to deter slugs and snails, along with other pests. So I just
want to because of the sharp edges and stuff.
Correct.
Ah,
yeah.
That's cool. Okay, well, that's a good thing to know. That's a good hint. I appreciate that.
All right. Have a great day, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's great.
Well, that's a great deterrent. You
know? I was thinking. Well, you get them crushed up real fine, mm-hmm. And just mix them into the soil. But hey, keep them slugs away. Yeah. Slugs and the bugs.
Let them cut them up.
Yeah, cut them in half, and then they can rot.
add a little salt to them.
Add a little salt to them, and they'll be ready to go into your garden.
Oh my gosh! We got another call.
Good.
Volume 2.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yeah, Mike, we planted a lawn about a week ago, and we did, level it, and then we added some topsoil, and then some seed, and some fertilizer, and some peat moss. Anyhow, today we had to do a delivery, and there was a truck that went about 2 feet into what used to be the lawn, and, the seed and stuff is still there, but it's smashing it down pretty flat. Will that be okay, or do we have to do something to that?
Did it leave deep ruts or what?
Not really. We hadn't. We knew the truck was coming. They're probably an inch deep, I'd say.
Well, if you got any soil or compost or something like that, just kind of re-level that small area and reseed it, and it'll be fine. It might be a little bit slower in germination than the rest of the lawn.
Well, is a seed that's already there and buried? Is it, done? Will it not grow?
Well, it may, but the adding some more seed will just be like an insurance policy, that's all.
Yeah.
And so, keep it watered and add some more good stuff on top.
Yeah, throw a little bit of seed, maybe another bag of peat moss where the tracks are.
Well, not a whole bag, just a little bit.
Yeah, just sprinkle some peat moss on it. Yeah.
If it's on there a foot deep, the grass is going to be hard to come by.
Right, no. No, I okay. just covered the seed so it'll stay moist.
Yeah. Oh. And keep her damp.
Okay, thank you.
And some of the old seed will probably germinate, but then the new seed will help it too.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. All Thanks right. for the call.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All righty. Phone number once again, Mike.
673-4464. If you want to have a chat, we can do that.
Cool.
How you like that for a poem?
Yeah, very good.
It went right over your head.
No, it's as good as my alligator jokes.
No, I think it was better. Oh, boy. When it rains for 3 months solid... and every day, and it's like just water everywhere. I do get tired of that. But in the summer, when it's so hot, so dry for so long, it drives me nuts. Especially when we have all the forest fires that we have, and those are things that happen. This one was out in Umpqua was lightning strikes, etc.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah,
you can't stop them, but
nope.
I was sure. If somehow we get once a week, we get an inch of rain through the summer. I mean, that would turn this place into Disneyland for crying out loud.
The Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. You betcha. Oh gosh. But as I was starting to say in the last segment, when we get this weather to finally cool down a little bit, and it's beginning to cool, and you know, hopefully we won't have anything 100 or better. But, you know, 80, 83, that's not bad. I mean, compared to what it was, it almost feels cold, for crying out loud.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it cools even more so, and we're down into, say, the high 60s, low 70s, you can plant very safely new shrubs, trees, lawns, all that kind of stuff, because there's not as much stress. And it's easier to keep them watered. It's easier to plant them because it's not 109. And if September gets its average rainfall, you're safe to begin planting, and you'll have success. That's what counts. On the other hand, a few weeks ago, I talked about planting a fall vegetable garden. Well, that's still a doable project. And even if the weather cools, but there's sufficient sunlight, a fall vegetable garden is going to work. You can eat fresh tomatoes until November, for crying out loud, and if you plant them now and keep it simple, and plant in pots if you don't want to do it in the ground. It's less work, less water, and all that kind of stuff. But every night I have fresh tomatoes with whatever dinner my wife is planning for us. We got fresh tomatoes.
You're lucky.
Lucky? No, she planted too many tomato plants. And, well, there's not that many. I've been 5 or 6 of them. But she brings in a bowl full every night. And everything from the little tiny ones all the way to, she didn't plant any of those super duper softball sized ones.
The beef eater ones.
and the larger ones are probably the size of a tennis ball, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super delicious. They're fresh. You just take them out of the garden, you slice them, put some salt on them, or however you want.
Oh, yeah.
Or have a BLT.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're so prolific. They produce. The more you pick, the more they produce. It's crazy. They're a great plant to have.
You were going to bring me some in this week.
And I forgot.
I noticed.
Yeah, I ate them all for supper last night. I'm sorry.
There'll be some next week.
Now, yeah. Well, maybe. I've got to write that down. Let's see.
Tomatoes.
Dale, tomatoes. Tomatoes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, since I'll read the paper tonight when I get home, I'll see that at the top of the
headlines.
bring him some tomatoes. Okay, well, if we got any left. Oh, anyway. You know, September, if we get an average rainfall in September, you know, it's going to be great. It's going to really settle the dust and begin to, you know, work the soil. And amazingly, some of the grasses in the fields and the pastures around and the ranches, and you're going to start seeing some green again. I mean, mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it takes some time. But I've noticed more and more trees that are turning kind of brownish instead of their fall colors because it's been so hot and dry. And they're going into dormancy. But as I explained last week, that's what happens when the ground dries up and we have, heat day after day after day after day. So at any rate, don't panic. They'll be okay. They'll come back. Now, if you've got a well-watered yard, this is not happening. But I'm talking about, street trees that you might find down one of the boulevards, mm-hmm. one of the streets, or right out here at the corner, at the main intersection. There's a few natural trees in there to your right as you're at the stoplight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll notice the leaves in there are starting to brown up, and even the oaks, the maples, that kind of thing. But it's okay. They're not going to die. They're just saying, hey, we're gonna whatever energy or life we have, we're going to conserve it and drop these leaves. Because if they drop the leaves, there's no food action going on in the tree. It's that simple.
Oh.
As long as there's fresh leaves, the food system continues. But it doesn't if it's hot and dry and going semi dormant. But at any rate, this fall, what's tomorrow, September 1st?
No, Saturday.
Saturday?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. It's close.
yeah. Tomorrow's the 31st.
We got 31 days.
Yes.
Figures.
August won't go away.
August is still with us. Have patience, huh? Oh, gosh. Yeah. But it's still, like I say, September is usually We don't get any 90-degree days usually in September. But
no.
You got, you know, September, October are pretty nice growing months. So that fall garden is not just a myth or it's a waste of time. It'll produce and it'll work. Of course, as soon as I say that and somebody goes out there and plants their fall garden in snow October 1st, 3 feet. So, hey, you said it wasn't going to snow, right? So... And your other good project, of course, is at this point when all these leaves are falling, and for the next month or so, and they're going to continue to fall, start your compost pile, and you're going to be manufacturing your natural fertilizer for next year. So, and like I say, you're picking a back corner out of the way. Nobody's going to see it. It's going to sit there and just kind of disintegrate over the winter, and you're going to have something good to add to your new garden and even into your plant beds. It's not just garden vegetable garden stuff, but you can use it as a mulch around, you know, your homemade mulch is good. It's full of nutrients. It'll get down there and do some good stuff. And then you can also add some store-bought plant food to the mix if you like, and increase its
productivity,
virility, I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I knew there was a good word somewhere in there. But the store-bought stuff, just be careful with it. Don't overdo it, you know, just because it says so much per square foot. You can go half that much and still get good results, and they may not last as long, but it's okay. And then the lady that called earlier, I was talking about dry crushed eggshells in your compost pile. Well, she doesn't crush her. She says she just leaves them whole. And those
slugs.
Slugs. The slugs, you put them around your plants, the slugs come up, and if they cross them, they get wounded.
Yeah.
Because
mortally.
The eggshells are sharp.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. That's a great idea.
And it's free to get rid of those slugs that way.
Yeah, right, and free to get rid of the eggshells.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm going to tell my wife that tonight. I said, don't crush them. Just throw them out there. So, you know, fall is also a good bulb planting season. There's bulbs starting to show up in the box stores and nurseries and things like that. And you plant them now, and next spring, enjoy the color of these hardy plants. I mean, that's... You just follow directions. If you don't know how, there'll be directions on the box or the tag that has the bulbs, and we'll go from there. We got a break. Oh, a break. Okay, we'll be back.
And the number?
673-4464.
Thank you. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, did you hear that? What a mess in Florida, huh?
What'd they say?
Half a million people out of power.
Out of power?
In Florida and Georgia.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Well, I don't know what's worse, floods or fires?
No. Or the combination thereof.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't see you can have a combination. It's kind
of it's one or the other.
It's got to be one or the other, yeah.
What's our phone number before we get off track?
Okay, if you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air, and we can talk.
Oh, man.
So I'm kind of meandering through what fall is and what you can do and planting fall gardens and bulbs and all this kind of stuff. And if you get into the bulb planting season here, and you plant them now, next spring, like I say, you'll enjoy the color of these hardy plants, and they are hardy. Those bulbs, once they start growing, you cannot get rid of them.
No, China vine.
Yeah.
A China vine.
Your China vine grows out well. So.
Yes.
But it seems that... like I say, once they are established, and it's like a year in the ground, you just don't get rid of them. They just continue to multiply, get bigger, better, wider, taller, and you just make sure that you buy the ones that you like. There's always photos of what the flower looks like or what the plant looks like on the box, and there'll be a box and these little bulbs sitting there, and you go, well, why should I buy them? They're $2 a piece or $3 a piece or whatever the heck they are. And I forget. And it's like, give that a try, And you can start out small. Just have, a small area of your yard. You're not doing much with it, and it's kind of a pain in the neck to water or something like that. Go throw some bulbs in there. Throw some daffodils. But I've said this before on shows. Out in, out past Melrose store about, I guess it's a good mile and a half, as you're headed towards Brockway and that area in Winston, there's a guy that's got, 30, 40 head of cows on this one curve. And every year that field is filled with daffodils. I mean, there are thousands of daffodils growing in his field. And there's cows and horses standing around, and they're eating the grass in between the daffodils. Mm-hmm. They don't eat the daffodils. They just eat the grass around it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a whole herd of them in there. And every year they multiply and get better. They're never watered as far as I could see. I've never seen a sprinkler going on in there. There's just natural grass.
Naturally,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And they bloom for, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, depending on the weather. And there's multiple hundreds. I haven't stopped to count. But that's how tough these guys are.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go wrong on a daffodil.
I hear if you eat enough of them, you can get high on them. I
don't know where you heard that. But
and news out of England.
Oh, news out of England? Did you really hear
yes.
that? Oh, gosh. You got to be insane. Not you. You know, people that eat daffodils.
Balls.
Yeah, cut them up in my salad, Alfred.
Yeah. Taj Mahal.
Yeah. But once they're established, like I say, you never get rid of them, and they're gonna just be there forever. And buy the ones that you like. If you want tulips, you want daffodils, or there's so many types out there. Just look at them, read the literature on the box. You'll say this is what it needs, this is what it likes, blah 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 blah, and you'll see the container, like I said, has a color photo on it, so you can see what the bloom color is and the size of the plant. And the container that they're in will also have planting instructions, like how deep to plant and watering amounts and all that kind of stuff. And a great thing about the bulbs is that after a year in the ground, they grow on their own with very little care. And if you don't want to have them in the ground and you want some, you got some big old plastic pots, potting pots, etc., go ahead and fill them with bulbs. You can put a beautiful get together of potted bulbs on your front porch with some flowering ground cover, like some ice plant, and the ice plant's going to bloom from May to October or November.
Wow.
And a nice bluish purple flower with pointed leaves.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. And both of them take the same kind of care, very little.
kind of plant.
If you water them, once a week, maybe. They say, thanks, we didn't need it, but thanks anyway, we're going to get better.
We're going, yeah.
And they take very little fertilizer, so you just be real skimpy on your fertilizer, and that's okay. But I already talked about the premature leaf drop that we're experiencing right now, and the coloration is natural in the non-watered areas. But so don't panic; it's okay. This is a natural thing for the leaf drop. Nothing to be concerned about. It's nature's way of saving the trees for next spring. And just remember that. Don't cut anything down. Leave it go. Now, if next spring it doesn't leaf out, call me and give me a bad time if I'm still doing the show.
You will be.
Oh, you never know. I might retire from the show, too. I didn't think
you retire, I retire.
Uh-oh. You mean your job is at stake if I go? See ya. Oh, gosh. But non-irrigated areas, you're going to find this more evidence of this happening. And like I said earlier, if you're still watering at your homes, color change probably won't happen for a few more weeks. It might color a little bit, but the ground being wet, the roots being wet, it's still actively growing, still actively pushing food up into the tree, so consequently it's going to do its natural thing and color up that way. And if we by chance we get a few rainstorms now, like what'd you say, it's supposed to rain tomorrow?
Yeah, rain likely in the morning, and rain, then turning into showers
of rain likely in the morning.
Yeah,
who comes up with these reports?
Kyle,
he just makes them up
and types them up.
No, where does it get the info? National Weather Service?
I think.
Well, who's that run by?
National Weather Service of Medford, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they'll be right. Who knows? If they were right 50% of the time, I'd be happy.
Less than a tenth of an inch possible.
Oh boy, that's not,
what is that? Is that
that's
just
a, that's a good sweat. It's not a rain.
So they're just hyping it up for us.
Yeah, I think so. But any precipitation, moisture is going to be good. It's going to be good for the fires. It's going to be good for our ground. It's going to be good for my attitude, and that's okay. Now, the heat, again, going back to the heat, brings us to another hazard. The yellow jackets and the wasps love this heat.
Lovely creatures.
And they are a little mean this time of year, if you've noticed. And I speak from experience, having been bit and attacked by the little vicious critters.
A little aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one day I was pulling weeds above my retaining wall in the back. Just, and I had the retaining wall like 4 feet tall, so I'm kind of bent over and looking at these small weeds, picking them. And I'm, you know, just having a good old time, and pulled this weed out, and this yellow jacket came out of the hole and bit me right on the lip.
Oh.
Within seconds, my lip was twice the size.
Good heavens.
And it really felt a bit painful.
Oh.
So after I crushed the sucker in my bare hands so you never bite again, I went in and I put whatever medicine or medication or whatever that my wife has on the counter. And it stayed swollen for a couple 3 days. It got pretty ugly, and I looked kind of funny. That's why I didn't go out in public that day.
Your wife gave you a fat lip.
Yeah, who hit you, Marianne?
Yeah,
she hit me. Anyway, but in the baking soda is applied baking soda to my lip. That's what I did.
I was. Yep.
And it works, and it reduces the pain and the swelling quickly. So
does work. Okay.
It does work, yes. And if you mix it with if you don't want to put it on dry, I put it on dry, but then I mixed a little in water and kind of dissolved it. But I made it strong and just smeared my lip with it. And it's not instantaneously take the pain away, but over a few minutes, there's less pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's less swelling as well.
So what? Does it take the itch away, too, you know, when it starts itching or healing or whatever?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's, baking soda is going to work. If that's bugging you, go ahead and put some more on.
Reapply.
Reapply. But the pain was like, maybe a few hours. But there are other fixes. I was doing research on this, and there's other fixes to choose from. A good one is called Afterbite. Something I guess you can buy at a drugstore or somewhere, and it comes in a squeeze tube like toothpaste, and it does relieve some pain fairly quickly, and it's also made from baking soda, but it's a cream, so the baking soda is the main ingredient.
It's already pre-mixed.
Yeah, but it contains ammonia, glycerin, and baking soda, so it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make sure, I'm going to look around and see if I can find some of this stuff.
What was it called again?
Oh, gosh, way to go. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no.
Was here. My notes are...
Oh, when you get back to it.
When I get back to it, yeah, right. Thanks a lot.
Nitroglycerin.
Yeah, there's glycerin in it. Yes.
Yeah.
But it works. It's very good. But there's a few ways to control these wasps and the yellow jackets. The main thing is don't work in your yard till it's cold and wet.
Yeah.
Like November, December, that kind of thing. But in the spring, not so much in the spring, but when it gets really warm in the summer. There's traps you can set, and there's yellow jacket traps.
Can we talk about that after the break?
Okay.
Yellow jacket traps.
Yeah.
All right. And phone number?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. You left us with yellow jacket traps.
Yeah, well, I did, but you also asked me a question I couldn't answer because it's buried in my notes here. That cream I was telling about is called Afterbite.
Afterbite.
Yeah,
okay.
And I guess, like I say, it's available, I mean, in the whatever store, maybe
Walmart, who knows?
Yeah, right, Walmart or one of the box stores, you know. So, and they've got other things, too. And like I say, it's easy to use. You just squeeze the little tube, and it's like a toothpaste, and just rub it on. And it does relieve some pain quickly. And it's made, you know, from baking soda, ammonia, and glycerin. And all those are good things. They're not going to hurt you. Okay, controlling those yellow jackets. Main thing is don't work in your yard until it's cold and wet. Like I said that last segment. I mean, because they're not out there. But in the spring and the summer, you can set traps. Now, my wife gets those plastic bags that you hang from your porch or a tree, and you put a little sweet stuff in there or some bait.
Yeah.
And they got these little holes on the top. And they're after it, and they go in there, and they can't get out.
Nah.
Yeah. And I love them when the bags are full. I mean, you know you did some damage, but it doesn't seem to hurt the overall population.
Yeah. No.
There must be trillions and trillions and trillions of them. But they work, and at least it keeps the numbers down, and they're not flying around your eyeballs all day long while you're trying to sit in your yard and read a book or something like that. But you put a little bait can be some bread on and with peanut butter on it, or maybe some Kool-Aid, and you know, something that's sweet, something that they smell, and they go, oh, yeah, let's get some of that stuff. And they go down there and get it, and then they say, how do we get out of this trap?
Yeah. Watermelon. They seem to love
watermelons. Yeah, watermelons are good, yeah. Cantaloupe, you know, that kind of thing. But it attracts them quickly. And in old time, like I say, in no time at all, that bag is full of dead yellow jackets. And so you install another one, and they've worked best for us because we're way out in the boondocks, and we've got, you know, a jillion critters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bug sprays that work well, but I'm not a fan of that. I mean, when I worked for BLM Cruising Timber back in when I was young and and
Studley,
and I could walk up and down them steep slopes at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And we had sprays and stuff we would use. And invariably, you go down, and you got to run straight lines when you're cruising timber. I was what they called the string baller. I had this big ball of string, a mile of string.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you got a big stick in between. And you walk a straight line from point A to point B. Then you go over about 50, 60 feet and then come back up the hill in a straight line. And then the cruisers can cruise the trees in between the lines, and they don't double up or miss any that way. And in the meantime, you're ahead of them by a couple of more pieces that you strung, and so they get a very accurate cruise. The hard part of that, especially on the top of Nickel Mountain and the backside of Nickel Mountain, it's infested with stinking yellow jackets. I hit traps, and I was always the first one down the mountain. You know, there's no flat ground out there. So you're going down there, Mike, and go up that ridge see that stump down there a quarter mile away and go ahead for that. Okay. And the poison oak is 12 feet tall, and you're going through that.
No.
And yellow jack is coming at you, you know, 90 miles an hour. I
hope they paid you well for that.
Yeah, I think it was $2.14 an hour or something. I'm not sure. But it was just a job in between, you know, semesters.
Commissioners?
No, in semesters of college.
Oh, that's right. That was way before.
That was when I was a young guy.
That's right.
I was in my 20s, man. 100 years ago. Oh, golly. But some of those sprays do work, and we spray our are, you know, you wear long sleeve shirts. It's even, you know, it's 90 degrees.
But necessity.
You still got to wear a long sleeve shirt because it's full of, like I say, Jello Jack is poison oak and wasp. And then you spray the shirt and you spray everything that you can and try to protect yourself, wear a hat, and then you head on down into the brush.
Wow.
And it works to a certain extent because they'll land, the bugs will land on you, but they don't like you. They don't like the smell of you, so they fly away. So that's good in it.
What if they still use that method?
I'm sure they do. I don't think they have little space machines that'll
AI.
Fly down there. Yeah, AI, right. But those plastic bags I was telling you about in the early segment, they work really well because they go in there, it's a one-way street. They go in there, they can't get out. And the more you get, the more they're in the bag dead, the more the other ones want to come in. And she puts, I think, two or three on the front porch. And in no time at all, they're full. Mm. And then we dispose of them. She puts a few more up there, and it's the population is somewhat diminished at that point, so there's not as many, and it takes a little bit longer to fill the bags.
Fill,
As long as they're around, you might as well try that.
Sure.
Because you can get very, very ill from a yellow jacket or a wasp bite.
So I wonder if that would work at picnics, too.
Sure, it would. Why not? You know, people have died from yellow jacket bites.
Oh, yeah. I was not aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens. I mean, depends, I guess, what the yellow jacket was eating prior to attacking you or what, you know, what your health condition
was. Daffodils
overall.
Or daisies. Or
I don't think they were eating daffodils. They don't like anything that's pretty.
Yeah.
But they're just a pain. They're just bingo. But those bags have worked best for us, and they're, you know, bug sprays that work well. But you know, they dissipate very quickly.
Speaking of baggage, we got a baggage for today.
That's it.
Went quick.
I got two more pages in notes, man.
Well, like I say, save it for next week.
Okay, I will. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. I certainly did.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right, stick around for the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.